Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. What's the opposite of congratulations? Congratulations.
Right, congratulations.
How about you just say it in a different inflection?
Right.
Congratulations, all these smart people who came on and told me it's going to get dark out during the eclipse.
Okay, yes.
What happened?
What did you do?
That was the biggest non-event event that I could remember in my lifetime. That's the takeaway from this eclipse.
We get to see an eclipse. We haven't seen one since 1979.
Yeah, I still didn't see one since 1979. 1979 was a real eclipse. Back in my day,
we had
real eclipses. Says.
Yeah, ours was fake.
Like when they said it would get dark, it got friggin' dark.
Right.
I blew an hour of my life.
You want that back?
Sitting out there like an idiot. Like every picture you saw on social media, the morons looking up. Oh, it's the sun.
Right.
Yes, it's there every day. I'm like, oh, I can't wait till it gets dark.
Oh.
Wow.
Never
like I
dark.
Rushed out. Like I woke up. Yeah, I took a snooze.
Yeah.
I wake up. Oh, my God. I got to get my day together.
The rapture.
Work. Get my workout. Get my emails. Shows like sketched out. Okay, get my glasses. Get outside. Look up. Oh, it's happening. All right, let me get on the end around that chair. So look back. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Turn on you, crazy.
Starting to cover the sun. Yes, I could see. Now, wait a minute. Wait, it didn't get dark yet, and I could see more of the sun than I did. Wait.
It petered out. It got camera
what
shy.
The F
right.
was that?
A huge letdown?
Did anyone else think it was going to get dark?
I thought it was going to get dark also. It did not get dark.
Didn't we ask people?
Yes, people told us
we're supposed
get dark.
To be smart.
Yes, yes, we they were told.
We had weather people,
yep.
Smart people.
Yep, science people.
A guy who has science guy in his name.
In his name, yes, right.
What am I missing?
Right, what happened?
Chaz and AJ.
I think you were looking at a passing cloud.
Get off the phone.
Get off the phone!
Oh, my God.
That was not one of the smart people we talked to yesterday.
No, but same information. Wrong.
Right. But he doesn't have science in his name, though. That's brain.
Oh, my God. What am I? Did everybody else know? Was I the only one thinking that was going to get dark?
I thought it was going to get dark.
I thought headlights.
Yeah.
I thought animals were going to fall asleep and then wake up and be like, wow, what just happened? I don't feel really rested.
Was it breakfast now or dinner?
We had an avowed expert who was saying that, here, take a listen.
Absolutely affects living things. Bats will be coming out at night for places that
great.
Have bats. This has happened.
I mean, bats are going to flock.
Bats.
Flock to the sky, everybody.
Bats.
Bats are going to cloud out
bats.
The sun.
Right. There's no darkness for bats.
Right. The bats stay asleep.
Was that it? Is that all they said? Oh, there was bats. There was roosting.
Birds going to roost.
Disorientated.
Right. Animals going to act weird. And the sky was going to get darker.
Dark.
Your headlights going to come on.
Dark.
Your automatic headlights are going to come on all by themselves.
Don't stop in the middle of the road.
Street lights
were going to go on.
Parking lot lights were supposed to go on.
All right. Let's do a poll of Connecticut. Did any street lights go on? Exactly.
Right. That's a quick poll. Yeah.
I was so pissed.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
I think I spent like 3 minutes outside.
I'm still trying to figure out. I'm like, I must have gotten this wrong.
I don't think you did.
Somewhere.
No, I don't think you did.
I must have heard something. Wrong, like
no, I heard
it got
same,
in wrong.
I heard the same thing you did. So how can we both be wrong?
Well,
I mean,
that's not hard.
I like to qualify that last statement.
Ruth, did you hear the same stuff we did? Were you expecting nightness? Were you expecting chickens to roost?
Yes.
Okay.
And
yes.
I was disappointed too. I wanted it to get dark, and it just got a little bit dim.
My flashlight ready on my phone, everything.
It's been darker in rainstorms.
Seriously. Yep.
Officer Joe?
Yeah. Hey, how are you guys?
Hi.
So I'm watching the news yesterday. Channel 4, Connecticut news station, the meteorologist, John, and I don't have his last name, but he was crying.
He was crying? Why? Because it's wrong?
You gotta find the video. It said it was the greatest moment of his life, and he's sobbing on air.
On Connecticut's NBC?
Yes. Yep.
But was
he was
it
in New York, somewhere upstate New York, and he was and he's sobbing.
Sobbing.
Oh,
I
man.
Gotta pay off.
You gotta listen to it. It's incredible.
Sobbing.
Yep.
Over an eclipse.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. Has anyone told them this kind of happens every night?
I'm going to call them. Yeah. This hasn't happened since last night. But I cried that too.
I've never seen this at 3:47 in the afternoon.
Buy a nightlight then. You're scared of the dark.
All right. So NBC Connecticut, wow. We need to look at Sobbing Man.
Sobbing Man. Okay.
All right. Wow.
He's a weather guy.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
You're a smart guy. Did you think it was going to get dark at some point?
It looked like.
No, but did you think that it was going to get. Did you think it was going to get pitch dark?
Right.
Yeah, I did, actually. And it just looked like it was real cloudy.
Okay,
and it was over.
With sun coming through it. Yeah.
Yes.
Like a storm.
It was a haze.
Yeah.
It was a haze.
I didn't weep.
It was a great haze.
It was more like a Hendrix song.
I was impressed on how such a small little sliver of the sun could still make everything so bright.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow, that's pretty freaking powerful.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Machete Freddy?
Yeah, it had like a green tint to the sky. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
What kind of glasses were you wearing?
Took away all of that from me is I was pissed it wasn't black.
Right. Were you wearing?
So I wasn't walking around like, oh, look at that nice green haze. I'm like, where's the darkness?
The only thing noticeable was the birds in the yard went away.
Right.
Oh, really?
Huh.
Yeah, they were eating out of the feeder, and then when it started, they all disappeared and went up into the trees, and there were no birds flying around.
They went to go roost.
They
went to roost.
Oh, so you don't hear them roosting.
What kind of glasses were you wearing?
I was wearing those eclipse glasses.
Okay.
All right.
Because I was wondering why it was green tinted.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
okay.
When I took them off and was looking around, that's when it looked like it had like a green hue to it.
Oh, because you burned your eyes. That's why.
Yo, have a good one, guys.
All right, thank you.
Have a good one, man.
There's a green haze everywhere.
Hmm. Or a chemical spill.
I thought it was going to be dark in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is scary.
Like, something for
you. I was trying to be kind of creeped out.
Yeah.
I wasn't creeped out. I was excited about it. Not for the science aspect, but for the creep-out aspect. It was like, ooh, it's dark in the middle of the day. It's like being in a horror movie.
I just saw something on Facebook that sounds funny that someone should have done. That you fill up a whole bunch of, like, blow-up dolls with helium and release them. Like the rapture's going on. Damn it!
Write that one down.
That's funny.
Ryan and Hamden.
Hi. Right. Connecticut was not in the total eclipse.
The totality?
New York was?
The totality. Upstate. So I went to upstate Vermont, and it was gorgeous. It did get completely dark.
How long?
For about 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
No, we got ripped off in Connecticut.
That's what I thought we were going to get.
All right, taxes, we don't get this.
We heard frogs start chirping like it was nighttime.
Cool.
The pictures you'll see of the total eclipse do it no justice. It looked like a giant black pearl, and you could see the solar flares of the sun like coming out of it so clearly.
Wow!
It looked like something from another planet or another universe. You know?
Oh, wow!
That sucks. We got ripped off.
But you know, I was just under the impression it was going to be dark here.
You wouldn't think there'd be that much of a difference between Connecticut and New York.
Well,
it's the same freaking sky.
I feel like we talked to people who said they're going to experience
that we were going to.
We were
in Connecticut.
He didn't say we had to get in a car and drive 5 hours.
Yeah, damn it.
I think the path of totality was about, they said it was like 115 miles wide.
Yeah.
But once you get in that path, then that's when you see everything really cool.
Yeah, we're in 116.
Yeah.
Just that side. And when it came back, when daylight came back, it was just a sliver of the sun poked out, and all of a sudden it was completely bright again.
Wow.
See,
that'd have been cool to see that.
Thank you.
All right, another 20 years of try.
Connecticut has had the two biggest non-event events in the last few days. We had an earthquake that did nothing,
right,
and an eclipse that did nothing.
Right, right.
We got screwed!
Well, things happen in threes. What's going to be the third thing? Oh, look, this tornado worked.
The tornado did it. John in Wallingford.
Morning, guys.
Hey. Yo.
Yeah, I was out in my yard raking, and I'm waiting for my chickens to roost, and I'm calling them stupid. When I get home, I'm going to apologize.
You're yelling at your chickens, hey, you stupid birds?
Hey, you dumb chicken.
You dumb cluck.
Go cluck off.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, thank you.
Poor chickens got abused.
Alk in Northford.
Hi, yeah. Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, yeah, I was on a Twitch stream yesterday as that so-called expert was talking, and I was like, it's not going to, we're not in the path of totality. Everything this guy's saying is wrong. And it would have been real cool. That guy crying was actually in the path of totality.
Wow.
They had an astronaut, a guy that had been to the space station, who had said he had never, this was crazier than he expected. It was more profound than he thought. But he was in the path of totality.
Yeah.
So if you're actually in there, it was real cool.
Yeah, we were in the path of mediocrity.
Thank you.
The path of fakery.
We were in the path of lame.
The path of suck.
Kevin in Wallingford.
I don't know. I felt like an idiot. I was sitting there with my welding helmet on waiting for this thing.
Thank you.
What did you, or you look like to all your neighbors. They're just playing spaceman again. Hey, we look at the moon. Way to go there, guy. Wow. I hear you.
All right.
Well, you made your neighbors happy.
Once again. You lose, Connecticut.
Ripped off.
But we did win the basketball stuff.
That we did do.
That we kicked
ass
on.
That we did do, yes.
I say we, they.
They did. We did nothing.
Yeah, I stayed up for the whole thing.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
What time did it end?
Well, I committed in my mind to the first half.
Okay.
I got to the first half. I'm like, this is a game.
Okay.
This could, these are two really good teams.
That propelled
you
forward.
I could wake up and UConn could lose or
right.
win or, you know.
Yeah. Well,
it'll be either one.
Yeah.
But then as it started getting closer to the end of the game, it was still within reach for Purdue. I'm like, you know. And then it became too much for Purdue with the clock and the score. And the, I'm like, I want to watch good Connecticut history.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of not so good Connecticut history.
Like
I want to witness something good.
Like the eclipse, for example.
The eclipse. I just got screwed on the eclipse.
Right. So what's something good? Before I go to bed.
Can you imagine if we lost a basketball game too?
Yeah, total dance.
I'm beside myself right now. Mm. Congratulations, UConn.
Yay.
I'm guessing everyone knows the score by now.
What is it again?
I just figure with cell phones, you don't really have to tell the score, but
yeah,
it's 75-60. Defeating Purdue 75-60.
Wow.
This is UConn's sixth men's basketball title and second championship in a row.
What an amazing run. It is a UConn coronation. The Huskies make history.
She fall?
Did she slip?
Number one lives up to the billing. They defeat Purdue 75-60. They've done it again.
Not a lot of prep in that.
No. Domination.
What did he say?
2 years.
What domination?
Some domination.
Utter domination.
Utter.
Utter.
Utter. Utter.
The cows? Oh, it's utter.
Seems like you should have something better prepared for that moment. And wasn't Purdue number one, too? It was number one against number one.
Yeah.
So he really wrote that line knowing that he could use it no matter what happens.
Exactly.
He's pretty lazy.
Insert this one here.
That's right. I'm just going to say this and it'll work right. Either way.
UConn was the overall number one. Purdue was the number one seed for their region.
Can I tell you that the tease I wrote for 7 o'clock was yes. How about them Huskies?
Right.
That works either way.
It does. How about them Huskies?
It's just the inflection. How about them Huskies?
Or
how about them Huskies?
Right. All the inflection.
It's just the inflection.
That's it. Yep. Smart.
I stayed up to the end of the game, 11:30.
11:30. Yikes.
Yeah. About midway through the second, Jennifer was like, you want to go to bed? Like, you can go.
I can't. I've got to watch this.
I got to do it.
I've got to be there.
I'm invested now, you know?
Yeah.
So how crazy did it get on campus last night? Let's go to Channel 3.
Channel 3 Eyewitness News reporter Olivia Schuler is live from Gamble Pavilion this morning with some of the damage that's on campus this morning. Olivia.
Hold on. Damage on the campus.
Damage.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the campus where there was damage on the campus. This is one of those, this is how we wrote it last night.
Right.
And we didn't want to rewrite it.
Too tired.
It's early.
They'll get it.
We'll just write damage on it. We'll just leave it.
Right.
I'm going to have to retype this whole teleprompter thing.
Well, it worked for damage.
Right.
Litter.
Olivia.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, I'll tell you, I think there's a sigh of relief coming from campus officials, and that's because the damage is not nearly as bad as what we saw last year. Take a little walk with me here. You can see red Solo cups on the ground.
Stop!
Oh, my God. Toby Keith was here. Red Solo
cups. There's a red Solo cup here.
Right up.
And if I take 15 steps over here, there is a paper towel.
Look, there's a crushed nip.
Here is a wrapper of a ding dong.
Right.
Someone took off the wristband from
cake.
The club that they were in and threw it on the ground.
Right. And I found a stick someone used to wave.
That's like, all right, you go and cover the damage done on campus.
Right.
And you get there and there's a red Solo. She probably knocked that garbage can over herself.
Right. Damn it, I can't find anything. Just toss stuff around.
Some booze, a lot of party supplies all out front here of Gamble Pavilion, scattered across the ground here. But no light posts are down, no shattered windows or doors this year,
well,
this morning.
Hold it. They took the light poles away.
Right, that's why there was none.
There were no light poles to knock down. They're like, yeah, you can't have light poles.
Now, if they found other light poles someplace else and brought them over to campus, big difference.
You know what would have been funny? They took the light poles down
right.
In anticipation of celebration.
Uh-huh.
And then the eclipse comes, and everyone just drives into every building during the day.
Right. They can't see where they're going.
No one could like watch the game at Gamble Pavilion because they took the light poles down. Then we had an eclipse, and people drove into the...
Yep.
Man, it's funny in my head.
That's funny.
Yeah.
This morning, campus officials tell us only 5 arrests were made overnight. State police played a major role in blocking Gamble Pavilion and other school buildings.
5 arrests?
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. For what?
Yeah, for what?
Doesn't say for what, but that just seems like a normal night at UConn to me, I would think.
Yeah, really?
Like,
yeah,
you think they've
Friday.
Had 5 arrests on any given weekend night.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think those 5 arrests were?
Drunk in public, maybe?
Right. And, you know, I'm sure the cops say, hey, look, just head home.
Right.
Head back
down.
To camp.
Right.
Head back to your room.
Simmer down.
And then, yeah,
I
warned you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, we may not see extreme damage across campus this morning. However, students did still get rowdy. A stop sign was pulled from the ground. Students climbed the light posts, and there was even some fireworks in celebration of the big win. Now, students we spoke to after the game say they were on the edge of their seats watching the national championship game.
First half is always close. Second half, you know, we just get the ball rolling. It's a dub every time.
But, you know, we're coming back next year.
It's okay.
We're amazed. We're all happy.
I like that
good
guy.
Times.
Coming back next year.
He's lit.
We're coming back next year.
Happy, good times. It's
and when he says we, he means like the group
Connecticut
of friends
right
that were
now.
Standing around the keg.
Right. None of us are graduating.
We're coming back to this keg next year.
None of us are graduating.
It's going to be fall.
I'll be here for 7 years.
And later tonight, there is going to be a championship rally here on campus. That is at 8:30. We're live this morning on Stores. Olivia Schuler, Channel 3, Eyewitness News.
All right. Happy to see a lot of those students celebrating responsibly. Thank you, Olivia.
Celebrating responsibly.
So happy.
I'm sure Olivia's not.
No.
She wanted stuff to talk about.
I got up early. Must have some devastation.
Yeah, right here. Red Solo cup on the ground.
That's it. I brought my own damn spray can.
We got Red Solo cups and nip bottles.
I'm going to write my own damn spray can. Write stuff on the wall.
Yeah. Well, Dave Portnoy's happy today.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Won $2 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. He can eat the whole pizza now.
He bet $600,000 when there was 5 games left.
Oh, boy.
UConn won all of them.
Nice.
$2 million. Man.
Gotta be happy.
Gotta be happy.
You probably hear my scream from here.
All right, I'm not happy with this eclipse. For some reason, I thought it was going to be dark for a moment.
I wanted to see night in the day.
Now everyone's explaining all this. We were not in the path of the total whatever.
The
path of totality.
Which sounds stupid. It's something like from Harry Potter. Go to the path of totality.
But didn't we have a smart guy on yesterday at this time saying it was going to get dark and chickens were going to be confused and
roosting, and birds going to roost and,
all right.
and
the cats and dogs living together. Total pandemonium.
Lights were going to come on in your car and then the light poles.
Yeah.
And all this stuff's going to happen.
Right.
Right. Hmm.
Do we have that clip?
Here's another segment of it.
Okay.
Animals will think it's nighttime, too, so whatever sort of nighttime routines they may be used to, yeah, they might get confused and do those. Birds will come home to roost and stuff like that. So it's pretty wild.
That's great.
Mother Nature gets very confused.
I was happy. That's great. I'm so excited. That's great.
That's great.
I can't wait. I'm going to rush and get everything done fast so I can be a part of this. That's great. Then I'm going to sit out on my patio with my glasses and say, what the F is going on? Where's the darkness?
That's great.
This is not great.
Wow.
This sucks.
Yeah. My cat went to sleep like he always does.
Yeah. I did not see one confused animal anywhere.
Right.
All right. So did we find a tribe member called about an hour ago and said there was someone from the NBC station in Connecticut reporting somewhere from Dallas or whatever, and he got emotional on the air.
Crying.
Do we have that yet, Justin, or no?
I have the clip itself. I haven't scanned for the emotional part, but I do have the segment.
It's how like, long four, is, it's like four and a half minutes.
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah, you got to scan.
Yeah.
We'll scan. We'll have it at 8.
Yeah.
All right, let's play this clip. This is someone getting emotional. Where are they? Chief Meteorologist David Hartman got emotional and excited when describing it live on TV from Dallas, Texas. He's with WAPT in Jackson, Mississippi.
Well, we are almost to totality here. The skies have cleared off. I'm going to get emotional. This is just unbelievable. And we're just about to totality here in the next minute. We're looking for the diamond ring.
Wow.
Here we go. It's just about to go total. Look for the diamond ring.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
There it is. That's the diamond ring right there. Look at the diamond ring. Spectacular. Look, there's a small cloud, and you see a halo.
Oh, my God.
Look at that. The diamond ring is still, you can still see the diamond ring.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
And there it is. You're looking at the corona of the sun. That's the sun's atmosphere. Unbelievable.
Do a shout out to me, says diamond ring. The diamond ring drinking game.
The diamond ring.
Look at the diamond ring.
The diamond ring.
When you get engaged,
look at the diamond ring. Oh, my God.
Diamond ring.
Oh, my God.
It's an eclipse, people.
Artificial intelligence just going to mop the floor with us.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, I mean, just mop the floor.
We're finished. Termination.
Oh, you people.
Termination.
What is this species?
Zot.
You made us? How did you figure that one out?
You got lucky, obviously.
Jeez.
Well,
the diamond ring. I'm going to get emotional.
The diamond ring.
Wow. Am I just jaded or?
A little bit. Well, you were lied to.
Well, I feel like.
You were lied to.
I was misinformed.
You were. Birds roosting, lights going on, darkness. Nothing happened. It was a stupid crescent.
Multiple smart people said it's going to be cool. And I was outside like, all right, whatever.
I did 3 minutes. I put the glass on, looked at one. Okay.
Right.
That's the end of it.
The sad thing about it is you could have just scrolled through social media.
Right.
Like, yeah, cool. Okay.
Look at that.
There's a three-quarter moon,
right.
Half moon, quarter moon, now we're back.
There's a couple of funny memes. People took, like, Oreo cookies and, like, took them, like one Oreo cookie is, like, full. Then they had one, like, slightly parted and another part. They did the whole thing.
I love those people.
Very creative.
Yeah.
And good cookies.
All right, so what is this? Heart performing Total Eclipse of the Heart with Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Was this part of the Tonight Show, or?
I think they did it during the eclipse.
Okay, so they filmed it and then played it last night?
I guess,
night,
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, here it is. These are hard notes to hit.
Yeah, then don't do them.
Yeah.
She can do them.
But Heart should be able to do this.
Right. Nothing I can do. Total eclipse of the heart. Just have her sing. Just stand there.
Ouch. Someone just got kicked in the nuts.
Tragic zipper accident.
This eclipse keeps getting worse, and
yes.
I keep getting madder and madder about it.
So I'm off the roof.
Like, the amount of talk we had, and no one said, oh, you guys in Connecticut, not so much.
Yeah, don't bother.
Why wouldn't someone tell us? I asked them all.
Be honest. Just say not in your area, but in other areas you want to travel.
Or say, I don't know!
Right? You sound like you just like, singing. You sound like Jimmy Fallon just now.
I don't know why I'm losing my voice, but I am.
Because you're tired. You watched UConn last night.
Oh, Jesus. You people. Just horrible. All of you.
Someone needs nap time.
A bus driver at a private school in Florida has been fired after he stopped a bus full of students on train tracks as a freight train was approaching. Do we have the full news report?
We have the full news report.
All right, here we go.
The school says they fired that bus driver after a 48-hour internal investigation and tell me they're horrified that this happened. They took us inside the school to watch video of this incident. Take a look.
A freight train runs through Fort Pierce.
It was rough.
And as ninth grader Madison Corey hears it off in the distance.
It brings back memories, yes.
She's reminded of her trip to school on Monday.
Could have been me that got hit by that.
Madison told me she and half a bus full of students from Synergy Magnet K-12 Academy were heading to campus when the bus driver suddenly stopped on the tracks at US 1 and Edward Road.
We kept saying that there was a train that we need to move.
This surveillance video released to us by the school.
These are all honor students, I guess. High SAT scores.
First of all, none of these kids paid attention during the training on how to use that back door.
Right. Yeah, bail out.
Just get out.
Bail out. Hit the ground running, kids.
Yeah, you don't need this bus driver to get away from this train.
Yeah, you don't need that one guy going uppy. The person used to grab you.
What's that?
Remember when they did the drills? They always, you couldn't just jump out of the bus. They had to like have somebody like hold you and bring you down. They did that to us.
Where, on the back door?
The back door. Yeah, when they did the drills in front of the school. Because we couldn't, God forbid, you just jump out of the bus. They had to, like, you had to wait for the person to put your arms out. And it was almost like the thing from Dirty Dancing in the water.
It was Dirty Dancing training. Oh man, right. we just jumped right out.
It sucks. I was
they didn't care about it.
I'm like, get your arm out of there.
It's always interesting when someone decides when they hate their job.
Right.
Like, just that feels like something my dad would have done. Just taking us to the cabin.
When, right.
Like, just stop the station wagon on the tracks and going, we can end this all right now.
Get your mind right now.
Exactly.
Or you're dead.
Right when he walks out and has a cigarette. I'll be right back.
Dad! 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 There's a train coming, Dad! Can you smoke faster, Dad? He's got 100s. Damn it! Yeah, this is a day one. They've been antagonizing this guy for a while.
Oh, big time.
He's been dreaming of this.
Yeah, he's like, I'll show you little bastards.
Yeah,
watch this.
Yeah, railroad tracks.
Right.
Yeah, he refrained from taking the keys with him when he got out.
The release to us by the school shows the bus approaching the crossing around 8:20 a.m. You hear the crossing arms come down and the bus abruptly stop. As the students start screaming, asking the bus driver to move.
No! 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 Quiet!
Tyler.
I'm trying to murder you.
Quiet,
to shut up. You're ruining the moment.
Right. I'm trying to figure out how to restart this damn thing. Now, what is it? Wait. Pump twice, then turn the key.
Yeah, that could be it, too. He can't figure out how to start the bus.
You know what? Damn it. Shut up a second. I got to read the goddamn manual. Let's see here. Starting the bus. I'm trying to figure out what to do in an emergency.
You know, this might be day one. Right? Maybe it is day one.
Oh, it says back door. Find guy to grab each kid as they walk out. Uppies.
You can always open all the doors. Right. Just open the doors.
Yeah, just open the doors.
Right. You got the emergency windows.
Run.
Many ways to leave.
Yeah.
20 seconds later, the bus driver starts to move the bus again, but Madison says it felt like several minutes.
We had one student that we were talking to. She had headphones in, and she looked around when everyone was screaming to get the bus driver to move, and she seen the train coming. She put the headphones back in, and she put her head down expecting to die.
At that point, a lot of us...
Okay.
Really?
Good.
Right.
One last Taylor Swift song on the way.
And the bus is going to shake. And the bus is going to break. And we're all going to die. Die right now. But die right now.
This is how unfazed younger people are by just life events.
Right.
Like, yeah, whatever,
no.
Boring.
She had a playlist all ready to go. All right, so this is I'm About to Die playlist.
Right.
I'm going to die, and it's like boring, and I'm just going to hear this song.
Right. Expecting to die.
At that point, a lot of us were expecting to die.
Madison says she called her parents, who then reached out to the school to report what happened. They got this response.
I just love, like,
the
no one, also... not one person thought, hey, we could just go out this back door.
Right.
No one.
Right.
No one.
Probably the stoner did.
Or we could run up and just, we could pull this metal rod and open the front door.
Right.
We can go out the back door.
Right.
We got the emergency windows.
There's many
no one thought about the options.
Break it when you have to.
Wow.
Get
how
the hell
easy
out of the bus.
Is it?
Right.
They got this response. Kids. The parents also filed a report with the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office and the Florida Department of Education. 48 hours later, parents were informed the driver was fired.
Someone play one of those whistles.
Is she texting while she's
so during the news report, during the video of the report that this is on, this is when the kids' texts to their parents were popping up on the news report screen.
Yeah, very creative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bus coming.
Only one kid on the bus had the decency to call their parents and say, I almost died today.
Right. What's this? Crying emoji, bus, OMG.
Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, you guys are killing me with this railroad bus incident thing.
Wow,
you guys
the train almost really did it.
Are you working on a railroad roll one day?
Thank you,
man.
They got this response. The parents also filed a report with the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office and the Florida Department of Education. 48 hours later, parents were informed the driver was fired.
She talked really fast. She's good.
It's not you. She had a lot of coffee.
They actually made her do the stand-up standing on a train track.
You got 30 seconds. Go.
And her shoes are nailed to the tracks.
Back to you.
And students told me they've experienced other issues with that bus driver.
He did let us off the bus a lot. He broke a lot of rules.
Okay, what does that tell you about you guys?
It means, the reason why he's doing that.
Maybe you guys suck.
Yeah, maybe don't be so annoying. There's a thought.
And they're private school kids, too. This isn't a public bus. This is a private bus. So I'm sure if the kids say, hey, Frank, pull over here because I need to go do whatever for my parents, he's going to, all right, private school, I guess I got to have to do that.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm that kind of authority, but...
I think AP has it right. This is the moment he just decided, I'm not driving this bus.
And we're hearing a snap before he stopped the bus.
In fact, no one's driving this bus anymore.
Yeah, maybe it was the goth kid who told him to stop on the tracks. My dad pays you.
Okay.
We pay your salary. I command you, halt!
We want to make a viral video.
Right.
He would stop at Wendy's or gas stations if we had to go to the bathroom and let us off the bus.
Wow.
And had two middle schoolers.
We didn't have that. We had to go to the bathroom on the bus.
We never actually got to school with him as our driver. He just ran our errands with us.
Right. Pick up laundry.
Dry cleaners.
Exactly, right?
and had two middle schoolers get off the bus to get him a soda from a gas station.
Yeah, I don't know how they pick their drivers or what process they go through to be certified.
We reached out to Synergy Magnet, who told us they had no idea the bus driver ever made additional stops, and say if it was reported to them earlier, he would have been fired before this incident. They also tell me they checked multiple references before hiring him and say he had a clean driving record. The school doesn't believe this incident Monday was intentional, releasing this official statement, reading in part, "We recognize that this may have been a traumatic experience for the students and family, and we have made the appropriate arrangements to accommodate their needs. We have released video footage in order to be transparent to the families and media, as our only priority is the safety of our students and our institution."
I love these.
And for Pierce,
these kids go to school to learn how to write these
Channel 5.
Yep.
Letters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard the bus driver painted a bullseye instead of the bus.
It's KP Anderson. In studio, super comedian, writer, producer, and doing stand-up soon.
Awesome.
At it's May 15th, New York Comedy Club in Stanford. I heard that place is awesome.
Yeah. It's amazing. They've done a great job with that place. I moved east in August of 22, right around the same time.
Why would you pick Connecticut?
You know, my daughter's in school in Boston.
Right.
She's at Northeastern. She called. She said, "I love the East Coast." My wife and I were empty nesters back in Toluca Lake, California, checking the light switches on the house. And
What's that part of California like? Is that falling apart, like with homeless camps and stuff?
Toluca Lake is a very nice little sort of hovel right between Universal and Warner Brothers Studios up by Burbank. It is. It's very nice. It is starting to get that. You know, that encroachment of,
it's like,
of
hey, it's
stuff.
Probably a good time for us to go.
Yeah, we and honestly, the kid was like, "I love it here. I love the East Coast. I want to stay here." And we're like, "Oh man, we don't ever not want to have another Sunday dinner with you." But she didn't need us in Boston.
Yeah,
she's doing great. But we didn't want to be helicopter parents. But we moved to Connecticut and became like Chinese spy balloon parents. We're in the atmosphere.
That's awesome.
She could see us, but she didn't have any Sidewinder missiles, so we're staying.
Yeah, you're cool. far enough away, but close enough as well. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. You work with Norm Macdonald, Kevin Hart, Tim Allen, Bill Maher, Nikki Glaser. List goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And then you did The Soup?
The Soup. Thank you. You have no idea. I did 12 years. I ran that show for 12 years.
The
with Joel.
Soup.
And yeah, how many people will automatically like it? It's a testament to how great a title Talk Soup was for a show.
Yeah.
That I will say to people, "I worked on The Soup," and they'll go, "I love Talk Soup." You go, wow, even when you say it to them, they Talk Soup just automatically drops
in. I almost did it there. And I know.
Yeah,
the show.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's the staying power of that title is astounding.
Does that get annoying after a while?
It got soon. Annoying, and then I got over myself.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how it went. After I haven't done the show now. We ended in 2016, I think, and Joel and I rebooted the show on Netflix with Paul Feig for a while.
Really funny, underrated.
Yeah, that was a fun one. And we did Norm's show at the same time, or I did Norm's show at the same time on Netflix.
Norm Macdonald had a show.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
What was it like working with him?
That was, you know, you guys ever watch, see the movie Strange Brew, Bob and Doug McKenzie, Rick Moranis, Dave Thomas?
Yeah.
There's a classic scene in that movie where Max von Sydow cuts the brakes on their van.
Right.
And van's rumbling down the hill, and Bob goes, "Brakes are out," and Doug goes, "No point in steering now, eh?" That's that's what working with Norm is like.
Right.
Every minute of every day is, "Hey, Norm, why don't you just, hey, that doesn't sound like something I'll do. I'm just going to go over here and do this instead then."
Okay, well, there was 8 hours of my life last night writing. After he died, I just heard a lot of... other comedians talking about his generosity.
Oh, he was Norm was an incredible guy. I met Norm early on in my stand-up career. I moved to LA, I think, in 92 or 93 and was at the Improv, and Norm was just getting started out there. And we met then. He got SNL and went off and didn't
see. So you met him before SNL?
Yeah. We didn't see each other for a bunch of years. Would bump into each other in LA every once in a while, but then when we had sold the Netflix show, the Joel show on Netflix, Netflix called me. I have a company, Pygmy Wolf Productions, that produced the show, and they called me and said, you know, "Hey, we got this show with Norm, and we were running by producers who he might want to work with." And he said, "I always liked that KP Anderson guy. Why don't you go have dinner with him and we'll and figure it out." So I walk in to this dinner in Santa Monica.
Do you think he did something? Like, how do you think he had you on the brain
there? I don't know, but I walk into the dinner in Santa Monica, and this is the way Norm was. He looks up, he looks at me, and he goes, "Oh, good. When I said I always liked that KP Anderson guy,
"You're the guy I was thinking of."
He was confirming.
Was it the other eight KP Andersons?
Exactly. Somebody the KP Andersons out there. Yes.
But that's. But I mean, that was him in a nutshell. He was. He was brilliant. He was. He was great. He was insanely generous to comics. And a really, you know. Wildly
original.
Smart.
Yeah. There's like no other Norman.
No,
yeah, there's nothing always, even close.
I always say, like, when that show comes up, I think more than any show that I've ever worked on, that's the one that gets kind of the most, like, the Soup is the most recognized, but right. the Norm one is the one that people of late have caught on to those episodes and seen and really, really love that show. And I'm glad people are still watching it. I feel like I had a lot to do with how we got that show on TV or how we got it on Netflix.
How did you get it on Netflix?
Terms of like the build of getting the studio built and getting the cameras put and getting the guests booked and all that stuff. When it came to what was going to happen, like at one point I said this to Ted Sarandos, the president of Netflix. He was like, what do you make a Norm?
Man, you're able to talk to the president of Netflix.
Yeah,
that's pretty big.
For a minute there I was. Now I'm in Connecticut. But no,
I'll take your call.
Yeah. He said, what do you think? And he goes, what do you think we're doing here? And I was like, you know, Norm is like a slot machine that pays out $4 million. It costs $50,000 to play. And you just have to accept once you put your $50,000 in and pull the lever, it ain't up to you what's happening next.
That's great.
And that
good
was
for you.
He did
that's
his show. His
that
way.
Shielded you yeah. saying that shielded the show from yeah. a lot of BS.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Ted was such a huge fan of Norm's, like crazy, crazy. That's how that show wound up on Netflix.
But you gave him the line to pitch to everybody else stay away.
Yeah. But he was like the perfect example. Netflix came to us early on when we were just getting up and going, and they gave us their sort of dream list of who our guests would be on the show, and they wanted, you know, I think it was like Cardi B at the time and Harry Styles and stuff like that. And
look at that list and say, they don't get it.
Yeah, the talent bookers, and I sat down with Norm and Lori Joe, his partner, and, you know, and sort of ran down the list, and Norm was like, okay, well, here, send him this list back of who I want. Louis Farrakhan, O.J. Simpson, and I was like, all right, that's how we're doing this. Okay, we'll do that.
You mean the
like,
actual ones?
Yeah, he didn't. It was interesting because just by nature of who he was and how his mind worked and how he was able to sort of fast, thin slice information and come back with something that you never would have expected, I don't think Norm ever needed blocking, you know, so much as he just needed, like, and God bless Ted, it really was that sort of, like, just let this cat be who he is. You know, let him do this the
if
way
you
he
learned
does it. Yeah.
Nothing from him on Saturday Night Live
yep.
mm-hmm. with the O.J. Simpson stories.
Yeah.
What, you know, you're never going to learn anything.
Yeah.
That was something I have never witnessed any entertainer other than Dave Chappelle do.
Yeah.
And that is at the height of your stardom, mm-hmm. making all the money. All you're thinking is this window could close at any minute, so I should make this check as long as I can. He was being told by the network, stop the jokes.
Yeah.
About OJ, and he just continued to do it and hammered it and lost his job.
Yeah, and even like the ESPYs, he, you know, got in trouble there with the Charles Woodson joke with the, you know, that's the Heisman. They can never take that away from you. Unless, of course, you decapitate your wife and a waiter. And it was such
it's like
I remember sitting on the couch watching it and just falling off the couch laughing. Like, oh my God, I can't believe he just went there.
Wow.
And that was who he was. I mean, We had so many of those, you know, we didn't do it for a very long time, but we had Lorne Michaels on the show, and Norm spent the hour that he got with Norm, or with Lorne rather, asking him about the Three Amigos and the first season of Saturday Night Live.
Funny.
Because that's what Norm wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Three Amigos.
And we got done with the show, and we're sitting up in our little boardroom conference rooms place, and Norm goes, so what do you think? And I said, well, I think you might have left a couple of things on the table there. It was really fun, but... And he goes, like, what? And I said, well, you know, there was that moment in time where you were fired by Lorne and NBC, if you recall that. And he goes, yeah, but I know why that happened. I'm not curious about that. Wasn't the show supposed to be what I'm curious about? And I was like, wow, checkmate. You're right.
Yeah.
And so he made a great show talking about Three Amigos in the first season, Gilda Radner. That's what he wanted to talk about.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah, very unique.
Yeah,
he was, very unique.
And yeah, I mean, miss him dearly for a guy that I didn't see for big stretches. Worked with.
Man, did everybody know he was ill?
No, literally, I remember when he
that's
passed.
A surprise to me.
When he passed, I was actually on a team call for there's a a killer organization called Comedy Gives Back that was started by Zoe Friedman, Bud Friedman, the owner of The Improv's Daughter, and it's helping comics with trouble paying their bills. It kind of started up during the pandemic, but it's also mental health and things like that. And we held a golf tournament every year, and I'm on that committee. And I was in my car and we were driving over the hills, and we were talking. And all of a sudden, Zoe goes, "Oh my God, Norm died." And, you know, it was a whole bunch of comics.
Shocker.
Yeah, a whole bunch of comics on this thing. And we were all like, what?
Yeah.
And, you know, my like third thought was, how the hell did he pass his insurance physical? I was the guy that signed off on the thing. Like, who did he send in?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, he was sick for a long time.
Wow. No one knew.
No one knew.
Kept it quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. There were things about his appearance that you kind of wondered. But, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. That show, The Soup, was awesome.
Thank you.
You ever get crap for that? Like, you know, you're at a party and someone comes up and says, "Hey, man, you were a little bit hard on me on that clip."
Yeah, actually, you were just doing the plug for your realtor. When my wife and I sold our house in L.A., one of the guys who repped the person who bought our house was one of the agents from that show Million Dollar Listing on Bravo.
Oh.
And we just beat the hell out of
it. You love those shows.
Yeah. And
those stupid fake reality shows.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
and we just pummeled this poor guy. And the second he walked through the door, and it was another NBC Uni show, so we'd always see each other at like upfronts and different things so he knew me really well.
Oh, boy.
And the second he walked through the door, I was like, "Oh, we are giving some points back on this house." The longest inspection he went through, and I watched him walk through my office because I was in my office writing. We were still tail end of the pandemic, and I was in my office writing. And he comes walking through with his assistant, and I just watched him like look at every corner and whisper to her the whole way along. I was like, "This is gonna hurt so bad."
This is the guy. So you come to Connecticut, and you pick Greenwich.
Yeah.
It sounds expensive.
Yeah. No, we lived in this little place, Toluca Lake, California. Nice place. A lot of people who, you know, looked like us, dressed like us, drove the same cars, wore the same watch, talked about the same stuff. And
people tend to want to do that.
Yeah. We just felt like we needed to go where things were real, where it's gritty again. So we moved to Greenwich, Connecticut. Greenwich is an interesting place to move to. First of all, great life hack. Rent in a town that billionaires pay for.
Nice.
Everything's clean.
Oh, you're renting?
Nice. Yeah. Oh. We rent the townhouse. And we were thinking about moving to Wilton is what we were originally planning on. And we got up there, we saw a house, we were about to make an offer, and our realtor, Robin, who's amazing, actually pulled us aside. And her husband is best friends with my realtor in LA. From high school, and that's how we met her. And she said, "Look, you guys are city kids. Like, don't go this far out in the sticks." Especially my wife grew up in Encino, California. I grew up in Cambridge, Minnesota, an hour north of Minneapolis, so I'm used to trees. She was like, "There's a townhouse I found for rent in Greenwich. Settle down there for a little bit. Spend some time.
See what you think.
Right. Yeah, have your access to the city. I've got to be in the city quite a bit." And it worked out. It worked out great. I think the one job that I would leave my day job for is I would love to be a cop in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yeah.
I would love
it.
We saw a car pulled over yesterday.
Right.
Five cop cars. On one car. Because there's literally...
There's nothing to do.
There's nothing to do. And then when there is something to do, jewel heist. It's real. But how did
they
defeat the laser maze?
Another episode of Cops Greenwich. Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Cops in Greenwich.
Except when I drive from there.
That's got to be the easiest pension to get ever.
We made a group of friends in Greenwich who are very nice. We go to a park in the center of town with our dog pretty much every afternoon. We got a little Yorkie.
Oh, what kind of dog?
A little Yorkie named Phyllis. She's great.
Okay.
And we go down there and we hang out and we met a bunch of people. And we know they're not like the really rich Greenwich people because they use a public park daily.
They'd be at the country club or wherever.
Yeah, that other part of it, the like making, because I don't know if we fit with like the Steve Cohen investment set. Very well.
Right. That's the high-end super rich.
I feel like if we get on too well with someone, like best case scenario, I'm on the hook for like my cut of 4 pounds of Coke and a plane to a sex island. And
you get invited to these parties where it's like $2,000 a head.
Right? Yeah, that too. Or worst case scenario, I'm waking up at 5 on a Saturday because we're hunting the poor at dawn. You know, like, we release them out in the back. Like, bring your crossbow. What?
Right.
Gotta get them early. Yeah. Greenwich fun.
We put cans out everywhere.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I've lived in Connecticut most of my life and born here. Heard of Greenwich my whole life. I drive through on 95. Mm-hmm. That's my
extent of
my knowledge of Greenwich.
I saw the sign once.
It's a gorgeous little town. Yeah. It is really. It's like, I don't know if it's like the last suburb of Manhattan or what it is, but it is just a beautiful, beautiful, clean, and coming from L.A., that is a really nice change of pace. Yeah. And Connecticut in general.
You're close to New York.
Right.
Yeah.
What have you done in Connecticut so far since you've been here?
Mostly we've gone to the green. Every day we get up and we get on the Merrick Parkway and fear for our lives for like 15 miles, and then we get off and go home. No, it's
that. Just floor it. That's what I got to do.
Yeah. Well, the Merritt is like the most America of any place, because it's so many cars out there, two narrow lanes.
On an outdated road.
Everybody's doing something different.
It's like
the
race car track.
Exit and entrance ramps ever.
It's like
driveways.
It's like a race car track.
Yeah.
Go!
Yeah, and since I moved here, I've never feared a Honda Accord in my life.
Oh.
But since moving here, for some reason, you see a Honda Accord come whipping up on you from behind. You're like, there's seven more that are behind that car that are on their way. It's crazy. But no, we drive around. We do a little bit of Westchester. We head in there. We're really still kind of learning the area.
Oh, yeah.
And getting around. Like, we're
going to put a list of dive bars together, so we'll give you a list of that.
Oh,
right. Go with your wife.
And by the way, that's, you know, we're pretty close to the where we live is pretty close to the Port Chester line, so I figured out where I can go to find a dive bar if I need to. Yeah, I was actually,
I mean, we're talking real dive bars now, KP.
Yeah. I was actually my pals Andrew,
this is stick to the floor dive bars.
Right, the one you could shoot.
My Port Chester night was my pals Andrew Santino and Bobby Lee were in town doing their Bobby Lee show in Port Chester at the Capitol.
Nice.
And I went to the show, and then we went out afterwards, and we were at the diviest dive bar Port Chester has, which is
the diviest dive bar.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I, like, 2 a.m, I finally had to leave because Bobby was in the booth next to me. And Bobby doesn't drink, so this is just Bobby being Bobby.
Yeah.
He's in sweatpants, making out with an age-appropriate woman in sweatpants with me jammed on the inside of the booth.
Bobby,
I can't watch you do this, pal.
That sounds awesome.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut. Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.